Well, in the weeks leading up to Christmas, it's common to look at passages in the Old Testament that foretell the coming Christ. That is, passages written long ago, before the birth of Christ, that explicitly foretold his coming. And these are wonderful, lovely, informative passages, because as we come to understand these passages, we come to understand the work of Christ, the character of Christ, the personhood of Christ, and we understand better how we are to live and to abide in him. And we understand better God's redemptive plan as we read the Old Testament and see Christ there. In fact, Jesus said that that he's the center of the Old Testament scriptures. As someone has said, any place, any page in which you cut the scriptures, it bleeds Jesus. But if I were going to tell you that we're going to read an Old Testament passage foretelling the coming Christ, which books of the Bible might especially come to mind? Isaiah, right?
Zechariah.
Interesting. Good. Psalms, right? Micah. This morning in our confession from the Heidelberg Catechism, it mentioned all the way back in Genesis that he would be the one who would bruise this, the serpent would bruise his heel and he would squash the head of the serpent. But this morning, we're reading from a book you might not think about as containing passages that, explicitly foretold the Savior, although it does in all kinds of ways. But the one, the passage we're going to be reading today is found in the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy was written 700 years before the book of Isaiah. It is 400 years older than David's book of Psalms. And the book of Deuteronomy is a book that was written by Moses himself 1,400 years before the birth of Christ. And the passage of which we're going to look this morning is Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 19. And I encourage you to find that in your Bibles, Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 19. And I remember in seminary, in a class in seminary, being shown this passage and coming to see how Christ was in this passage, and it excited me then and it still excites me today. Let me say a quick prayer and then we'll jump in. Father, we pray the blessing of your reading and preaching and hearing of your word. We ask this humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 15, Yahweh your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen, you shall listen to him. Okay, Moses is speaking here, and he says, the Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me. Now, what is a prophet? A prophet was one that was divinely inspired to communicate God's will to his people and often to disclose future events to them. He's God's mouthpiece, declaring God's will, and at times announcing that which is to come, that which will happen. Moses himself was a prophet. He was a mouthpiece of God. And he is telling the people here something that God is going to do. And what is it? Moses says, God's going to raise up a prophet like I am. And he says he's going to raise him up from your countrymen. Now, a more literal translation, he's going to raise up the prophet from your brothers. Now, it doesn't mean necessarily your direct sibling, but it means from your kin, from the Jewish nation. Then the New American Standard translates it countrymen. The ESV, NIV say brothers, King James Version, brethren. I really prefer the word brothers, but it all communicates that God's going to raise this prophet up from among your kinsmen. And Moses here in 1400 BC was speaking of the coming Christ. And you might say, Bill, how do we know that? How do we know that Moses was speaking about the coming Christ? After all, there were numerous prophets that were raised up after Moses. Maybe Moses was speaking about Isaiah or Jeremiah or Micah or all of them. Maybe he was speaking about the prophets generally. Well, I want you to notice three important things. Moses here speaks of a singular prophet. He does not say, God will raise up for you prophets like me from among your brothers. He speaks of a specific prophet, a particular prophet. And this particular prophet is going to be like Moses. Moses does not simply say, God will raise up for you a prophet from among your brothers. He says what? He's going to raise up a prophet like me from among your brothers. Well, the Lord raised up many prophets. And each of them, like Moses, was raised up by God. Each of them spoke the true word of God to the people. But there were additional qualities and roles which Moses possessed that were not fully shared by the other prophets. First of all, Moses led the nation. Other prophets served under kings generally, but Moses led the nation and he gave up the royal family line. He had been adopted into the household of Pharaoh. He gave up the royal family line to lead an enslaved people to freedom. Also, Moses was a mediator. He was a mediator between Israel and Pharaoh. He was a mediator between Israel and God. Also, Moses was a judge. He judged the people of Israel. And unlike all the other prophets, Moses spoke to God face to face. In Numbers chapter 12, the Lord speaks. He speaks to the family of Moses who are resisting Moses, getting prideful and uppity against Moses. And the Lord speaks and says this, listen to my words. When a prophet of Yahweh is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of Yahweh. And Moses says, the Lord is going to raise up from your brothers a prophet like me. And Israel expected, because of this passage in Deuteronomy 18, that there would be at some time a special prophet raised up by God like Moses. And we see that expectation in the New Testament passage we read this morning in John chapter 1. Let me read that again, and it'll stand out especially having just studied what we have the past few minutes in Deuteronomy. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews at Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Christ. They asked him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. Now, John the Baptist was very much a prophet. In fact, Jesus, speaking of John the Baptist, said this, "Among those born of women, there is no one greater than John." But when John was asked, "Are you the prophet?" he said, "No." Now, I want you to listen closely to the reason God gives in these upcoming verses for raising this special prophet up. Verses 16 through 19. This is according, Moses is speaking to the people still. "This is according to all that you asked of Yahweh your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Let me not see this great fire anymore, or I will die.' The Lord said to me, 'They have spoken well. I will raise up a prophet from among their brothers like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. It shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him.'" Okay, what is the reason that God gives here as to why he's going to raise up this special prophet? He says here, the people asked for something and God liked the idea. Now, the Lord has his redemptive plan from before the creation of the world, right? But it's interesting that we read here that the people, when they had seen the Lord speak in majestic power back in Exodus chapter 19, said, "Moses, we don't want to see that again. We trembled with fear." Let me refer back to an event that's in Exodus chapter 19 when the Lord spoke to them. So I'm in Exodus chapter 19, verses 9 and following. "The Lord said to Moses, 'I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you. Go to the people and consecrate them. Put limits around the mountain. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death.'" A little bit later it says, "On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, a thick cloud over the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it with fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently. The sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of the Lord answered him." And a little bit later it says this, "When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain smoke, they trembled in fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, 'Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die.'" So God, referring back to that event on Mount Sinai and the people's request, says he's going to raise up a prophet because the people were terrified at the sight of God when he spoke to them on Mount Sinai, and they asked that the word of God would come to them through a man. Would be more approachable. Would be less terrifying. And dear friends, you see where I'm going with this, don't you? That Jesus is the perfect fulfillment of this promise of God. Think about this. Jesus alone possessed these qualities of Moses. Moses left the royal presence of Pharaoh to lead an enslaved people to freedom. Jesus left the royal presence of the heavenly throne to lead a people enslaved to sin to freedom. Like Moses, Jesus is a mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5 says this, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And like Moses, Jesus is a judge. We read in John chapter 5, verse 27, Jesus is speaking, and he has given, the Father has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. And in Acts 17, 31, we read this, for God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. And like Moses, Jesus speaks with God the Father face to face. Doesn't have to depend on riddles or dreams or visions. In John chapter 17, verse 5, Jesus said this, and now, Father, glorify me with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world began. Jesus, like Moses, speaks with God the Father face to face. And Jesus, like Moses, spoke the word of God. Of course, that was something the other prophets did too. But Jesus spoke the word of God. In John chapter 14, verse 10, Jesus said this, the words I say to you are not just my own, rather it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. In John chapter 14, verse 24, Jesus said, these words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. And of course, we read in Scripture, then the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The incarnation reduced, at least for a time, terror in hearing the Word of God. Back on Mount Sinai, the Lord descended in fire and smoke billowed. The whole mountain trembled violently. The sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. And the people said, Moses, we don't want to hear his voice anymore. Have him speak to you. And then you tell us what he says. And the Lord says, I will raise up a prophet like Moses. And at Jesus' first appearance, the angel says to the shepherds, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ. And this will be a sign to you. What? That there will be shaking mountains, there will be billowing smoke, there will be a sound of the trumpet. No, it says, this will be a sign to you. You will what? You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And then a short time after that, the Magi come to Jesus. They come to the house and they see the child with his mother, Mary, and they bow down. God incarnate, God bringing the Word, the one who speaks with the Father face to face, came not in a terrifying manner with this first coming, but in an approachable, more understandable way. Even later in his life, remember when he was meeting with the Samaritan woman and he's speaking with her by the well, and she's surprised that he, being a Jew, is speaking with her, a Samaritan woman. Later in his life, even while he's a man, he's not wearing a king's crown. He's not carrying a king's scepter, though he is king of all. And Jesus speaks to her in understandable and in tender terms. And think about this in John chapter 14. Philip says to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Remember Jesus' answer to him? Am I so long a time with you, Philip, and you have not known me? The one seeing me has seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? Jesus brought the revelation of God in a way that could be understood all the better and not as terrifying. Well, dear friends, let's make some application here. What is God's command concerning this prophet? What does God tell us to do concerning him? Verse 15 of our passage today, he says what? You shall listen to him. He raises up this special prophet, his son Christ, and he says, you shall listen to him. If you look at some of the verses just prior to today's passage in Deuteronomy, the Lord tells the people of Israel, when you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. He says, whenever you move, probably all of us in this room have moved. And you move into a culture and you learn and to some degree practice some things you had never learned about or practiced before. Now, a lot of that is special, is invigorating, is neat to learn another culture. But what we have to be on guard against is if we move into another culture that's practicing things, not to practice things that are detestable to the Lord. And the Lord was telling the Jews, you are moving into a land, you're going to dispossess a people who sacrifice their children, who practice divination and sorcery, who engage in witchcraft and all that. And he says, don't learn from them, don't do what they do, but obey my commands. Because anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. And the Lord is telling us today regarding his son Jesus, listen to him. Do not imitate the ways of the world that are around you. Listen to him. Remember in Luke chapter 9 where Jesus goes up and he takes Peter and John and James. Jesus goes up on the mountain to pray. And while he is praying, his appearance becomes different. His clothes become dazzling white. And then, lo and behold, Moses and Elijah come and talk with him. Of course, the disciples are stunned. And a short time later, it says, a cloud came and overshadowed them. And they feared as they entered the cloud, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is the Father speaking from the cloud with Jesus there with Peter, James, and John. And what did the Lord say at that moment? Y'all remember? He said, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. In Hebrews chapter 12, we read this. For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness, and to gloom, and a whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet, and the sound of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word would be spoken to them. Again, he says, you haven't come to that mountain, Sinai, like happened way back in Exodus. He says, but you have come to God, to the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns us from heaven? Dear friends, God's command given in Deuteronomy chapter 18 regarding that prophet that he would raise up is the same command that he gives us today to that prophet who was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is, listen to him. And remember, after Jesus had said some hard things regarding his flesh and his blood, and many disciples, not the 12 disciples, but many followers were leaving Jesus. And Jesus looked at his 12 disciples and he said, "You aren't leaving too, are you?" And Peter said, "To whom else shall we go? You have words of life." The one whom we are commanded to listen to has a speech that is such a blessing. We're not being asked to listen to the speech of a tyrant. We're not being asked to listen to one who is keen on violence and selfish pride. We're commanded to listen to the words of one whose words give life and who gave his life that we might be redeemed from sin and live with him forever in the rooms he is yet now building for us in his Father's house. Is there anyone you want to listen to more? Wonderful words, beautiful words, wonderful words of life. I'll close this in prayer. Father, we thank you that the law and the prophets, the Psalms, wisdom literature, all this there in the Old Testament points towards the coming Christ, that he is the center of all the scriptures. And we thank you for this one short passage of scripture that we've read today, where through your Spirit, Moses spoke of the prophet who would be like Moses, being a leader, being a judge, leading people to deliverance, and who would speak with you face to face. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for his birth. We thank you for all that his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection and ascension has secured for us. In his name we pray. Amen.